We write poetry, we write music, we just write thoughts about things. And journals have been used in a variety of ways through many, many years. And some of us have read the writings of great mystics and great saints, and sometimes just of ordinary people. Recently, I read a book called 70 by Mae Sarton, her journal of her 70th year, which meant a lot to me because this is my 70th year. So, Mae Sarton, then I resonated to her writings. Journals were used in ships. Some of the logs that were kept on great journeys. And so we have read the adventures of people who've been on the waters or in the jungles, and they keep diaries or journals. And so tonight we're going to share, and I'll ask you if in the course of the evening you're led to share something from some of your journals, that you'll give your name first, and then the tape will have recorded it for posterity. And David now is going to introduce some of the journalists who've come.
Thanks so much. Journaling is something which I know in education, I'm a teacher, and it's something which in the last few years has had a big emphasis in the suggestions of what can be done in a classroom to get kids to think about what's been going on, and to use as a technique and for just thinking and remembering and trying to communicate better within themselves and to each other. And I think it's neat that we have three young people who are willing to share with us tonight a little bit about what they put in a journal and how, and it should be interesting to get the perspective of doing it at this age and then all the way up, no matter how old we are, and how we can learn from that and how it can be a way of self-examination, reflection, and growth. We have three young people who are going to share with us, and I'll introduce them. Or would you like to introduce yourselves, or should I introduce you? You want to introduce yourself? Just tell us your name and where you're from and maybe what grade you're going into? Should we use the microphone?
It picks up all of it.
Okay, they've got mics laying out, so just talk nice and loud. And okay, Christina, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Christina Granberg, and
and where are you from?
And I'm from Washington, right outside Tacoma.
How old are you?
What? How old are you? I'm 8.
Okay.
Going on 9. And I write in a diary because, when I grow up, I can remember the things that I did and what I thought when I was little. And I'll remember my friends and
what are some types of things that you put in your journal?
My favorite foods.
Okay.
And the foods I dislike.
How long have you kept your journal?
Since New Year's.
Okay, so you just started.
And I'm hoping that I'll keep it for the rest of my life.
Great. Okay. And next we have Bjorn. And Bjorn is from where?
Minnesota.
And I know the city. I've been to the city Bjorn's from. Where are you from?
Austin.
Okay. And how old are you?
7.5.
7.5. Okay. And Bjorn started keeping a journal in school, right? And I think Bjorn, we were talking about this afternoon, we had a very interesting discussion on a way Bjorn uses his journal to help him when he's bored. Can you share that with us, how your journal helps you when you're bored?
Well, when I was in school, I'd write down a bunch of things that I could do in school at certain times. And then, if I get bored and I don't really know anything to do. I'd just go look in my journal and I'd pick something.
Isn't that great? I think famous people do that. You're kind of walking around and you think of something, you put it in your little journal, put it in ideas, and then you go back and look for it. And so, you showed famous people a way to do that. Yeah. Any other types of things you put in your journal?
I put places where I've been and where I go and stuff, and I put down stuff. And once I was in school and I had wrote something at the beginning of the year, and then later in the year I went back. A long time ago, at the end of the year, we wrote in our journals again, and I looked at the page and I couldn't read a word because I couldn't understand what I was trying to say when I was back in school.
And what grade did you just get done with? We should explain that, maybe help some people understand.
I just got done with first.
With first grade, so when you start writing that for in first grade, and by the end you saw how much you learned, right? I think that's one thing we'll see tonight is how journals help us keep track of stages in our lives and to how we've changed. And you saw even in just less than a year how much you could read or understand more than you when you started. So, and you were saying that you like to put in your journal some of the places you've been. Can you share some of those places with us?
I've been to Washington, Oregon, North Dakota. My dad's been to Texas. That was a long time ago.
Well, your dad's probably pretty old.
He was the same age when he went.
Oh. And how do you think when you're older, do you think the journal might be helpful?
Yeah.
How, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe. No.
You think about things you could do and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. And then finally we have Hannah, who is going into seventh grade. And Hannah has a little different perspective on journaling. You have a couple of different things that you would do with your journal, right? Can you tell us maybe how you organize your journal?
I separate my journal into different parts. Like my personal, really personal stuff and stuff about my friends and
Hannah just got done with sixth grade, and that happens to be the grade I teach, so I know that sixth grade girls like to put down, various people they like. Were you going to tell us any of those things today? Oh. And you were saying about something about going down to the first grade, that was part of your journaling or helping them with their journals?
Yeah, when we have we have buddies in first grade, and we have to go down and help them write because they don't know how to write. And they tell us their ideas that they want to put in their journals and stories.
Okay, thank you. Well, I know I would really like to thank Christina, Bjorn, and Hannah for being brave enough to share with us tonight about their journals. And let's just give them a little round of applause.
I just like to mention something. The journal that Christina has is a diary. It's a Ramona diary by Beverly Cleary. And what is nice about it is there are sentences, and she can finish the sentence rather than, starting out with the whole thing. And she can write as little or as much as she wants.
I just marvel when I went down to Narnia and to the minors and talked about this idea and talked about how we were trying to get organized. And these three said they'd be willing to share. And talking to them, I was just amazed at how perceptive and acknowledging of the importance they were with first grade, second grade, and sixth grade about how, dividing it into sections or talking about important times or putting down things to do when I'm bored. And then when I'm bored, I can look in there and find something to do. I thought that was really special and really taught me something because I sure hadn't done that and I still don't. So. Thank you very much.
Well, I was going to, since we have children here, and how old did you say you were?
I'm 11, almost 12.
11. When I was 12, I wrote something about
something that happened in my life that was very important to me. In fact, it changed my whole life, and I think maybe I'm closer to God today because of that happening. So I wrote this when I was about 12 years old, and it was about the death of a little brother who was 2.5 years old when I was 10. And later on, when I was reflecting on it, I wrote in a little diary I got it for Christmas, a little poem, and I called it Mirrors and Roses. And although the diary is long gone, I remember what I wrote. I wrote this. They put Gilbert's coffin in our parlor. There were lots of roses in the room. Grandma covered our mirrors with sheets. She said if we didn't, we would always see Gilbert's coffin in them. When my grandmother wasn't around, I took the sheets off. But I never see his coffin when I look in our mirrors. I only see Gilbert when I smell roses. So you can start very young, I think.
You wrote that when you were 12?
About 12 or 13, around that time.
And I think that, knowing what I've experienced, that people can be at a very young age have experiences which happen, which they'll always remember, and which they, you know, which...
And
which
still really today, if I smell roses, I think of Gilbert. Especially white roses.
Well, we've seen how journaling can be used as the beginning at a young age. Does anyone else have any remembrances or journaling that began at that young an age, or in their either elementary years or junior high years, or anything which helped them remember things like that? Uh-huh.
I kept a 5-year diary, I think, from the age of about 10 until I got married, and then maybe for about 4 or 5 years I didn't care to keep one. But then I kept one for about, well, I suppose 25 years. Then I quit. And then I went to college in 1977, and when I was taking freshman English, this woman said, you have to keep a journal every day to help you in your writing. And I said, I can't do that. She said, yes, you can. And I kept a diary, well, it was a journal, actually. Each day I had to sit down and write. And I know one thing, it improved my writing considerably. Mm-hmm. But about that time, my mother had a stroke, and I had many things happen. And I go back and read that now, and I am so glad I have got that journal. And I don't know why I had never kept it up. But now when we go on long trips, I usually write what has happened to us in the daytime. But I think it's just absolutely amazing what it does for your whole perspective when you go back and read over those things again. And I would encourage anybody who has the time and the effort. A 5-year diary is nice because it isn't very much, but it still tells a lot in each day.
Well, I think Christina was very perceptive when she said, when I'm older, I can go back and remember who my friends were. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's one of the things that journals give to us, is it preserves our memories and our feelings. The feelings that you have now, you will soon forget later on, unless you record them. You might remember the event, but you won't remember the feelings. So journals help you. And of course, they're therapeutic. When you write down during times of crisis, there's a lot of therapy that comes to us, especially if marks grow.
I just think, and I, maybe there's a distinction between people who write in one every day, and I unfortunately have not had that discipline. I'm someone that writes in, you know, writes reflections that I have at certain times in my life. And I remember when I was a freshman in college, my first week I went to school about 100 miles away from where I lived, and it was the first, I really had not been away much, and it was the first weekend away, and I just was very, very homesick, and I still have a little, my mother saved it for me, but the letter I wrote to my parents, and I look back at that today, and it puts where I've come in the last 10 years in perspective, like you say, and it helps me see where I am now and where I've been, and I think being able to see that really helps us to understand who we are now and why we're that way, and so forth. Does anyone else have any maybe significant times that really that they had written about at the time, and then because you wrote about it, you can look back at it and really see more of what's been happening? Yeah.
Two things that have been mentioned. One is when I was 12, I tried to keep up.
What is your name?
Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara Johnson. I'm not sorry that I'm Barbara Johnson. I'm sorry, I forgot to say. But when I was 12, I had one of those 5-year diaries and it had a lock on it. But I wrote just the whole page because I thought I would only keep it for a year. Actually, I only kept it maybe about 10 months, but I did write every day. And when you were talking to Hannah, you know, did I like somebody? Yeah, I've got things in there like, I think Edwin likes me because he told Betty, and Betty told Carol, and she told me. And
that's how it is, man.
That's the sort of thing that's in there. And then another time when I wrote a journal was the first time I was away from home at summer school at University of Wisconsin, where I wrote not every day, but whenever I felt like it, and I wrote, you know, deep things about how I felt.
There are some people who write every day, and I wonder, are there any of you here who write every daily?
I am not writing every day. My name is Carolyn. Every day that my grandparents did on the farm, it was done at the dinner table, and it had the weather, who was there, how many eggs were laid, any kind of significant thing that happened, and there are stacks and stacks of the black annual books.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a log of what happened in the family. Another type of journal.
And I think it... Go ahead, Jan.
Go on.
Oh.
I was going to say that I think I'm Jan Bowman, and when we were in Finland, we went to the church and saw the parish register, and we were told that in this area it was the only history that was available. And I think that is true of so many places, that there are no written histories except maybe what is in the parish register. And so these logs or journals that were kept on the farm or that you kept as children could be very much more important than you realized. At the Stagecoach Museum in Thousand Oaks, there's the diary of a 9-year-old girl who came by... who came overland by covered wagon to that area. It's the most fascinating thing to look at and read. And she had no idea that that would be history someday.
Well, I have the last, I'm Margaret Shively, and I have the last few years kept, it's not really a diary, I just write down, you know, very simply the things that happened. Because I am a house mother in a sorority, I realize this is unusual experience and find I forget things, thinking that, well, maybe someday I can put this in order. And I have occasionally written things, not regularly, but when I go back and read them, I think, oh, I've forgotten that. You know, it was a very important event, but I've forgotten some of that. So it does help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
My name is Dave Tucker.
Dave?
Okay. When I was in college, I took a history class about the Civil War, and all the reading we had was original source material, and much of it was diaries that people had written. The wife of one Confederate official, or elected official, was very interesting. Not all of it was diaries, but a lot of it was, and I guess you could say a lot of what we know about the Civil War or many other periods of history would be from what people have written in their diaries.
And I think the idea of that sister, I remember too, we read during the Civil War some slave diaries, and that's one of the main ways we know that. And I think just keeping in touch with our past, I think our society is so fast-paced that we lose touch with that. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the written word in terms of remembering. But we were fortunate to have one of the volunteers here at Holden, Steve, who has a different form of the written form of keeping a diary, more of a different way of remembering past events and times were important. And maybe you could share a little bit of that with us now?
Sure. I also like to write a fair amount just journaling, and I have a harder time, like you mentioned that it's, you can kind of keep things in perspective when you do that. For me, I've written enough that sometimes it's hard to want to look back through a lot of it or take the time to do that and to keep things in perspective. But what I have noticed is when I've written songs, which are fewer and farther between them than writing in a journal, then I can kind of see a pattern in my life. And what I've noticed that the songs that I've written earlier, maybe starting about 6 years ago, I'm 26 right now, were much more serious and much more just really trying to think things through. And the ones more recently are much lighter and much desiring to write more in a more joyful way, in a more thankful way to God. And so I can kind of see a progression that way. And what Dave asked her earlier is maybe just to share a couple songs with you tonight. This is just kind of a sing part of this right now. This is just kind of a reflection type song. And I was down in Trinidad on an exchange program last year with a university, and there was this place outside the dorm where I like to just go and sit. And sometimes I sit there at night, sometimes in the day, and just kind of sit and look at things. And so these are just a few of thoughts that came to mind. Doesn't work as well when the pick is stuck in between. That was from last year. Just trying to think of which ones. I can sing, there's one that sometimes music helps me just release my feelings. And I worked in a factory for a while. It was a plastic factory. And it was really frustrating work. I basically worked from midnight until 8 o'clock watching this machine spit all things at me, and then I had to trim them up and set them in a nice neat pile for my inspector to come and look at them. And so all there really was to do was sit and think up verses to a song or go crazy. So this is something from that.
How many years ago was this?
This was probably 6 years ago.
1997. And kind of the one of the main lines in it, which I'll point out later, was said by a friend, and that's what kind of inspired to write this song. Looking for a tent.
I like that. Oh, that was a fun
work there too. Yeah.
I like that.
Great. Thank you, Steve.
I'd like to give some other people a chance of perhaps sharing some of the either reasons why you find journaling important to you, or maybe different techniques that you have for the experience of reflection and of renewal and self-knowledge. You know, Steve has his creative and talented way of doing it. The children we heard from have their ways that they've begun. I think we can learn a lot from each other in different ways of that we have done this. Anybody have else be willing to share on how they approach this? Jeff?
Yeah, I'm Jeff Seemers, and I do some normal journaling a little bit, but one thing different I probably do is journal my dreams if I remember them. And like most people, I usually don't remember any dreams, but maybe once a month or every few months I remember one. And now I've gone back for, you know, several years, so they're starting to number up. And you know, some of the things, my experiences in regular waking life that I did in high school, you know, I really don't care to read about anymore, but the dreams are still relevant.
Have you seen a pattern at all in your dreams since you've been recording?
No. Right. Well, I've never sat down and, I mean, I don't even know where all my, I don't know where they all are because I have tons of different notebooks. I mean, my notebooks that I had for school, I've been using. When I get bored in class, I would start doing a journal in there. And, well, now I'm done with school, so I don't know where I'm going to do it, but, someday I'll probably come get all the dreams together and all the other things together and look at them in sequence, but right now it's all jumbled up.
So we have journaling through song, journaling through dream. Anything else, Dave?
I really wasn't thinking about it when I happened to have my camera with me coming into here, but I guess that the main motivation I have for taking pictures is just that when I see something, I want to be able to remember what it looked like when I'm somewhere else or when things have changed later on. So, of course, I brought it with me to Holden, but also where I work in Seattle, I work at the Blue Shield Agency there, and right now we're having a new building built, so I made sure to take pictures of the area before they broke ground and have been following it along since then.
So for you, pictures form that, or are that medium by which you remember. Okay, anybody else have? Uh-huh.
I have not been journaling long, but 2 or 3 years ago I started doing process writing, and I am an elementary teacher and use it in my classroom. Mm-hmm. But since then I have then done some journaling and some poetry writing and so on. And one of the things I've done since I have a grandchild is keep a journal for her of the times that I have seen her and the changes that I've seen and the things that she can do. And I hope to have a journal for my next grandchild later this summer.
Great. Well, that's interesting. A journal for someone else to give to them.
That's great.
That's special. Uh-huh.
I'm Sue Voss, and I've kept a few different journals at different times, but I've never been very good at keeping them for very long period of time. But what I use writing for and journaling for a lot is just to sort out feelings sometimes. If like something is happening that's really intense, or you know, there's a problem or something, and I just can't sort out what's happening. Why am I thinking this? Why am I feeling this way? And for me, writing helps me stay out of that. And then it helps me. I'm much more insightful when I write than when I try to talk about it or just think about it.
Those are the times that I journal too, but I don't do it very often because once I get started, I write pages and pages. I do it on my computer, and one night I sat there until 3 in the morning and I had 14 pages, and I decided I can't do this or I won't be able to work. So it can be addictive. I mean it just flows when you're full of it.
Anybody else? Uh-huh.
I have done some of this at the computer too, and it is easier for me to do it that way, but I've found when things get tense or intense and I start to feel things that are painful, that I discontinue.
You discontinue when things get...
Mm-hmm.
I guess, and it's interesting how different people react. Mm-hmm. I'm someone that when things get most painful is when I feel more of a need to... It's almost like maybe this is the way I am, but I'm almost afraid to tell anybody else, but I can write it down. It's like almost like telling someone else, but not really, if I write something bad.
I think it was that I didn't want to look at it, and there it was. You can get away from it.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have...
Something that helps me when I journal is I feel like I can be separate from my feelings and look on it on the outside. One of the things I've started to do is sort of do a free association. So as I, you know, start with an image, I go to another image, and sometimes I write a little bit of poetry, and sometimes something else comes up. But the main thing that it does is it helps me to be still and to listen to an inner voice in a way that I wouldn't normally listen to it if I were in a conversation with somebody. And it just, it also helps me to look at it and to monitor what's going on inside and have a record of that, to see what my inner voice is telling me.
I like that, the sense of detachment, of a reflection, of being able to... I think our society is so hectic and so fast-paced that the idea of reflection or examination of oneself is an art which many people have not or do not take the time. So I think that's a very important concept, the sense of being able to examine more in a more objective sense. Well, uh-huh.
My name's Joe Bresno, and following what you were just saying, I think that when I write something out, a lot of times it'll be an intense time or something that I'm not clear of what's going on, and I often will write something out until it gets to be something clear, and often I'll find the same exact understanding that I write out, then I can use it to tell somebody else about, like if it's a relationship thing or something. I find myself using a phrase or an example from something when I was trying to explain it to myself. I can use that, and it just comes out, even though I didn't remember I even wrote it. And later on, I'll see that I wrote it down in my journal. And another thing was sort of this inner voice, sort of dialoguing with myself, where I'll ask myself questions. Sometimes I'll combine it with a meditation, or go to my journal after I have a meditation and ask a question not knowing the answer, and then in a certain place I will ask the question and I'll just write the answer out. I mean, it's just like, well, I'm writing, and that's the thing, when you write, you answer the questions. It's like I'm giving myself a test. Well, I write out very clear answers a lot of the time, and things that I didn't know.
And when you started writing, you were not clear on the answer?
Right. It comes from my sort of working with my intuition.
That's interesting. I have something called my decision book that I've written in there. I started when I was a senior trying to decide what college to go to, but where I've written important decisions that I've had and what I should do, as I have a hard, terrible time making decisions. And the last big one was a year ago when I was trying to decide whether to buy a condo or not. And I still have these little pros and cons, and I look back and I have one where what should I major in college? And at that time, it was between pre-med and education. I had like pros and cons, and I think that the idea of working through that and seeing the differences is...
So those kind of things are really helpful for me too, because then sometimes I'll look back, and it might be 5 years later or 10 years later, and I'll see how carefully I sorted through something, and that I really did make a good decision, but I don't remember that I did that later on, you know. But then looking back, it's a reaffirmation of a decision-making process.
Anybody else? Any other ideas on different ways of reflection or of journaling through life? Did that lead at the title of our poem? Uh-huh.
I'm Jan Bowman, and this is the true confessions from an English teacher. I have students writing more journals for me than you can shake a fist at, and yet I am terrible at keeping a journal myself. And I think it's because I do quite a bit of writing of other kinds, and even though I treasure journal writing the most, it seems to be last on the list, and I don't know how to make it first. Maybe some of you can help me.
No, I was going to say that too, and I'm Marge Wold, that since we've been writing books, I don't write in journals that much, because the books become kind of the journaling.
Yeah. But I think the value for me when I have been able to keep the journal is what I call stopping the world. It's a philosophical concept, but it isn't deep at all. It's that life is like a stream, and we are in the stream being carried along like a branch or a leaf. And stopping the world is getting off on the bank to observe this flowing stream. It's very much, it's similar to what Lisa was talking about, to be still. Mm-hmm. Or to make life stand still, if that's possible, for that moment. And it adds to that photograph that you're taking, because it shows you the inwardness of that moment as well as its external aspect.
There's another thing that sometimes works very well for me, and somebody mentioned it, dreams. And you can take a figure, like a person in a dream, or even a place, and you can dialogue with that place or that person and just kind of free associate to whatever comes from that dream figure. to give you. I think that's been very powerful for me.
Dave, one of the things I like about my old journals is that I look back on some of them, and I'm glad I'm not there now. I'm just very happy. This is from the spring of 1942, and it was before I was married, and I was traveling around speaking to youth groups in the Pacific Northwest and in the Midwest, sent by the Board of Foreign Missions, they called it then, of the old Norwegian Lutheran Church in America, because I was going to go to China. And I'm just glad I'm not there. I had a really profound spiritual experience when I was in college. And I suddenly, from a very carefree, dancing, kind of not too pious young woman, I became a total prig. I was obnoxious. I suddenly was proud of a clean, scrubbed face and straight hair and looking just as plain as I could. I thought that was a sign of great virtue. But anyway, and I don't know, but I guess Erling still was willing to marry me. But on April 30th, 1942, I left at 9:20 a.m. for Bismarck, where I was living in Minneapolis, but I was traveling by train and bus. There weren't even planes then to travel. Bing saw me off. Erling was called Bing at that time. And we were engaged. Nice train, but an awfully long ride. Ate dinner on the train for the first time with an older girl headed for Bismarck, daughter of a pioneer Methodist circuit rider in North Dakota. Annoyance, : a group of North Dakota politicians arguing in drunken and blasphemous manner in front of the car. So nauseating that I felt like going and ordering them to stop their shameful talk and profane use of the holy name of God and Christ. We finally asked the conductor to do so. Quote, why do men want to die? And then on Saturday, June 6th, just to mention an odd experience, had to stop over in Mason City from 12 a.m. to 4:10 a.m. at the bus depot. Who should approach me while I was indulging in a hamburger but the bus driver, who was interested in the fact that I traveled on a clergy ticket. He was amazed when, after considerable questioning, he learned that I neither smoked, drank, or danced, and cared nothing for his veiled suggestions that we go out and park someplace. Strange, I wasn't angry, but felt sick inside, nauseated. I spent a lot of my time and was so thankful once more for a fiancé like my Bing. And I look back at that and I think, I'm so glad I'm not there. And yet at the same time, I kind of regret the kind of naive freshness that I had at that time and my willingness to have this kind of wholehearted sort of commitment, but I'm still glad I'm not there.
Lee, if you'd like to, we're going to say something?
No, I was just, Jan's thing about the river and some of the reflection kind of thing and being quiet to listen. I guess for journals for me are the dumping so that there's some space for anything else to come in. Maybe in the metaphor of the river, it's the shaking off of all the rain, all the drops, and drying off, so that God can give me a sense as to where to re-enter and how to do that without being destroyed.
Mm-hmm. I'm Mary Virginia Michael. Some people find it helpful if they're stuck and really want to journal to let that part of them that they are talking to really have its own voice. And you can start out as simply as with a blank piece of paper. And what I sometimes do is just make a little dash to indicate somebody speaking. And I will say in my own voice, what question shall I ask? Then I make a little dash and I really wait for some answer to come up. And the answer might be, well, think it over for a minute. And then the dialogue begins, but the trick is to listen very loosely and freely and be as faithful as you can to the response that comes in its own time. And it's surprising how much begins to take place in this imaginary conversation. And that other voice begins to take on a personality that's astoundingly
assertive at times.
Now you find out or become aware of areas within yourself that you had not really touched base with before, and how those areas may affect your decision making or just who you are. I've seen that myself where I try to plan things out or decide how I feel, and I find that my reasons for doing things or my motives are sometimes not what I would like them to be. Any other techniques?
Another journal that's helpful is a prayer journal. Prayer concerns, keeping lists of people you pray for or concerns that you pray for. And it's helpful to go back and see at what where you were.
I was reminded when you were speaking about stopping when you hit a difficult moment of the marvelous French writer Colette, who gave this advice to someone asking her about writing. She said, look, just look. Look a long time at what pleases you, but look longer at what gives you pain. Mm-hmm.
I find that concept of pain and of remembering pain, this may sound like a strange analogy, but right before I came out here, I saw the newest Star Trek film. And in that movie, has anyone else seen that movie? In that movie, a man has, Spock's half-brother, anyway, he has supreme power over people because he relieves their greatest pain. He takes away their pain, and because of that, they follow him and he brainwashes them. It works on everybody except, well, you guessed it, Captain Kirk. And Captain Kirk, about three-fourths of the movie, has this interesting interplay where he says, no, I do not want you to take my pain. I need my pain to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was sitting there watching Star Trek, and all of a sudden, wow, that was profound.
Right here in Star Trek.
Yeah, in Star Trek, I heard something profound. But you know what you say about pain? I think journaling helps us to be in touch with what we have gone through, and I think because of that helps us to be a more full expression of who we are and why we act in the past and who we are right now and who we may become. Anybody else have any significant times that were important for them or techniques in journaling?
I read for mine, hoping some of you would be encouraged to read from yours. Maybe it didn't happen.
I wrote something today out on the flat rock down behind Narnia when you walk down there. I found that to be a favorite spot, and I do write kind of like poetry. Cascading waters rush, filling every crevice and hole with wild wetness, with fresh vitality, eagerness to reach the goal. What is the purpose of this melted snow from the mountain peak? Where will it go? Does it truly seek to satisfy the thirst of the stately pine that grow in and near the copper mine, to refresh the deer and other critters that dwell here? Like the love of God, it rushes into the midst of us, who have traveled here by boat and bus, led to this place, to be renewed, the creation of God to be viewed from this flat rock beside the stream, a place to sit, to write, to dream. The warmth of the sun upon my face lets me know God is in this place, to fill me with his love, to satisfy my thirst, to nourish my soul, to refresh, to send me on my way, that I might show the love of God to others on another day.
I'm Marcia Pyle. I thought of another journal. I was on an Outward Bound experience a year and a half ago, and I remember a friend of mine, we were on our 3-day no food of being alone in the desert, and they wrote a journal of all the foods that they would love to have at that moment. She had 24 pages of foods that she thought of. So that was her journal. It was significant for her.
They remembered a painful time in her life.
Yes.
I know, Steve, you had one more kind of time in your life, which you were going to... Sure.
Maybe it's a good time, a good thing to close with.
I think I'll just close with the rest of the one that I started. First one.
Oh, okay.
The
factory?
No, not the factory. That one's done. That's good. I'm never going to work in a factory again if I can help. So this is just a continuation of the first one.
Benefits of journaling, but I feel like I know a lot of you a lot better. You know, I mean, that's just me. So, I mean, we all use journaling to better know ourselves and to take that knowledge to act more forcefully as God would have us. Mm-hmm. Go in peace.
Thank you.